This week, the federal government is expected to make a major decision about Vineyard Wind, the first large-scale wind farm slated to be built off Martha's Vineyard. The ruling represents the last big obstacle the project needs to overcome before construction can begin. As WBUR's Miriam Wasser reports now, the decision comes after years of uncertainty and could pave the way for a big offshore wind industry up and down the Atlantic coast.
It is a really windy day in New Bedford. And here at the Marine Commerce Terminal, a big open concrete area right on the harbor, even the seagulls are hunkered down, squawking at each other. There are some refrigerated trucks loading and unloading seafood at a processing plant next door, but the terminal itself just looks like a giant empty parking lot. This, however, is where Bruce Carlisle wants you to use your imagination.
In my mind's eye, I see the tower sections stacked and lined up. I see the blades all ready to go. I see forklifts and cranes and crawlers and just all sorts of activity.
Carlisle is in charge of everything offshore wind at the Massachusetts Clean Energy Center, better known as MassCEC. MassCEC is a quasi-governmental organization, and a little over a decade ago, it bet big on offshore wind and built the Marine Commerce Terminal. The terminal is about the size of 22 football fields and was specifically designed to withstand the incredible amount of weight required to partially assemble offshore wind turbines. And to date, it remains the only staging area of its kind in the country.
We've known for a while that offshore wind presents a significant renewable energy resource, and it was really only a matter of time.
Except offshore wind never was a sure thing in the U.S. In the early 2000s, a company called Cape Wind proposed building a wind farm off the coast of Cape Cod. MassCEC expected Cape Wind to be the first company to lease the terminal, but after years of public opposition over how the turbines would affect ocean views, that project fizzled. And so, too, did talk about a big offshore wind industry on the East Coast. The New Bedford terminal has stayed afloat by leasing the port area to other marine cargo operations, and it's actually served as the staging ground for onshore wind and solar projects.
For us, in the interim, that's been sufficient to keep us moving to the point where, you know, when Vineyard Wind comes in here, we are going to be realizing the work and the investments and the groundwork that we've laid.
In 2016, Governor Charlie Baker signed a law saying that utility companies in the state need to start buying power from offshore wind within a decade. Vineyard Wind won the initial round of project bids and is now slated to become the first big wind farm in the country. Located about 12 miles off of Martha's Vineyard, its 62 turbines should produce enough electricity to power 400,000 homes in Massachusetts every year. If the federal government gives the company a favorable decision this week, Vineyard Wind CEO Lars Peterson says they could start bringing in large cranes, turbine blades, and electrical components to the Marine Commerce Terminal sometime next year.
I would call it a once-in-a-generation opportunity to build a new industry, develop the workforce, creating manufacturing, construction sites, and also deliver clean, affordable energy.
But getting here has been a roller coaster. Vineyard Wind submitted their plans to the federal government for approval in 2017. The review process was supposed to take 2 years, and in the meantime, several other East Coast states opened up bidding processes for large wind projects off their coasts. It seemed like the much-awaited offshore wind revolution was finally beginning. But then, right before Vineyard Wind's final environmental review was supposed to come out, the Trump administration announced it was putting the project on hold.
We got a call from the Secretary of the Interior's office telling us there had been a change and there were new concerns about the project.
Kathleen Theoharides is the state's energy secretary. She says federal officials told her that with so many wind projects in the pipeline, they wanted to take a step back and examine the cumulative impacts of the industry.
That sort of turned into this long summer where we were flying back and forth up and down to D.C. trying to save the project.
It didn't work, and the project remained in limbo. Meanwhile, the Trump administration was removing similar hurdles for other industries.
So it felt like they were picking one industry to really focus in on with a lot of scrutiny of the environmental impacts while the oil and gas industry was getting a free pass.
The delay wasn't just inconvenient to Vineyard Wind. It threatened to upend the project's entire supply chain and construction plans. And with the failed Cape Wind project still top of mind for many, The Trump administration's decision once again raised questions about the future of the industry.
But it is a new day under the Biden administration.
A few weeks ago, U.S. Energy Secretary Jennifer Granholm announced that the Biden administration was going all in on offshore wind. They put Vineyard Wind back on track and promised to jumpstart the industry by speeding up the review process, opening new lease areas, and helping to create tens of thousands of union jobs. It is an ambitious goal, for sure. But not everyone is thrilled.
They play it down like there's no effect on the ecosystem. I can't see how it can't when you start putting hundreds and hundreds of these poles in the water.
Peter Anthony has been in the fishing industry in New Bedford for 40 years.
We've been here forever. The fishing communities have been fishing these areas because they're fertile fishing areas.
He says many fishermen have felt blindsided by the federal government's support for offshore wind. And while companies like Vineyard Wind have made some accommodations, like increasing the space between turbines in the water, he still feels like it's all moving too quickly. Any day now, the Interior Department will approve, deny, or suggest changes to Vineyard Wind's construction plan. The company will need a few small permits and federal sign-offs afterwards, but this represents the last big hurdle for the project. And if the ruling is favorable, which seems likely, Vineyard Wind could start offshore construction next year and deliver power by the end of 2023.
I'm sure they'll be drinking champagne and pumping their fists, and they'll be all happy about it. But I think in the fishing community, yeah, they're going to look at it as a loss.
Anthony says fishermen feel like the country has decided to trade one renewable resource, seafood, for another, wind energy. And he thinks it's a shame. Lars Peterson of Vineyard Wind says he knows some fishermen are not happy, but he feels that the two industries can coexist. And he says that the project his team has proposed and that the government seems likely to approve is an example of that.
When you just look at the fundamentals for this industry, the strong winds, the shallow water, the amount of people living along the coastline, the state's ambitions of going towards a net zero target, there's no way you don't have offshore wind as part of that equation.
And the fact is, the states and the Biden administration are relying on offshore wind to help mitigate climate change. And if their plans are fully realized, the entire East Coast energy system could be radically transformed. For 90.9 WBUR, I'm Miriam Wasser.